and thank you for tuning in to Big Ed's Neck, the only 90 Day Fiancé podcast. Today we're going to be talking about 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, Season 8, Episodes 3 and 4. My name is Marty, I'm here with Jen.
Hey guys.
Let's get started with Ed and Liz. So Liz was making breakfast pizza, and I'm way fucking intrigued.
I've had a couple different breakfast pizzas. It's a really great idea, and it sounds really good. I haven't had lunch yet, and
it sounds fucking awesome. Yeah. But we just get a peek of Ed being Ed, because he was, like, bitching about them making a mess with, like, the flour.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I don't care what kind of baker you are, how masterful you are. You're going to make a mess with the flour.
Yeah.
That's part of it. It's going
to
happen.
And it's like some people like to clean up along the way. Others clean it all up at the end. And I mean, you're making something, anything
right.
really, with like a smaller child. Like
right.
it's going to be a mess.
You just know you're going to have to clean up.
Yeah.
You know,
like, those two always make a mess.
She's a kid.
She's
idiot.
Like 8 or 9. Like, no, she makes a mess.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, that's just part of it, you know?
Yep.
So I feel like, Liz's daughter, even at that time, was like, you know, you just have to accept that we're going to be making a mess and we'll have to clean up after.
It was very much vibes like Liz is like to Ed, hey, you're ruining it. Stop it. And then Ed's like, no, you're ruining it. And she's like, well, no, you're ruining it. And like back and like kids. And then even the kid was like, can you guys stop fighting? We'll clean it up when we're done.
That's always a good thing when the kid has to be the adult in the room.
Yep. Really good. Know? Really good for the kid having to be in the middle there and just.
Yeah, I'm sure that won't mess anything up. And even then, Ed couldn't let us. He had to whisper, "Are you ready to apologize?
Yeah,
you ready to say you're sorry?"
And then even just whatever, like, oh, you don't know how to clean up after yourself after pasta. Like, what is happening in this dynamic?
You guys are children. I thought they said therapy went well.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. 2 weeks of therapy and he's cured. Like,
surprise, surprise. I guess at this point, since they're doing their like real estate thing or may not be doing the real estate thing, I don't know, they got to be living off their savings, I guess. I don't know.
I guess. Or whatever they make from the show, maybe.
Whatever they make from the show, yeah. Yeah, because Liz had to give up the partnership, which we kind of knew that was going to happen.
Of course, yeah.
You know, so. Yep. So Liz went wedding dress shopping and... I don't know. The one she picked out looked a little odd. First one looked like it went through a pond.
Yeah, weird florally kind of one or whatever. I did not like that.
And it wasn't even like flowers. It was like vines.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Yeah, I didn't care for it.
It's like okay, swamp thing.
Yep.
So, and it's less than 2 months before the wedding. So glad to hear they aren't pushing things to the last minute, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, with the way the relationship is, they may not know they're getting married for sure until like the day of.
Yeah. Well, knowing them, you know, shit. And then, you know, Liz's mom's not a big fan of Ed, which is, okay.
Yeah, it was a shocker.
That checks out, right?
So, like, just like with TLC, I don't understand. I get Ed gets good ratings. Like, I don't know, like, TLC loves it, like, by us all hating him, it maybe increases the ratings. But it's like, does TLC just think we as a group like Ed more than we really do? Like, are they just confused?
They can't be that clueless.
It's like we do not enjoy watching him.
But
get rid of him.
There's a lot of interaction online about how much Ed sucks.
Yeah.
So I mean, maybe that's it. You know, they're jazzed
what
about
is
all
it?
The
no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah, but you know what? That mindset only goes so far, in my opinion.
I think we've said this before. But like the whole Liz and Ed are very annoying. I'm tired of hearing them. I'm tired of their story. It's the same. It's just the same episode on repeat, basically. And there's no K-1 visa involved. Ed had the failed relationship with Rose before the 90 days or whatever.
Ended there.
And yeah, I mean, how many other couples? Like, who's that guy that followed that woman, the Ukrainian woman, David. And, like, how come David isn't still on? How come we're still not following David? Like, you know.
And he's a much better dude than Ed.
Yeah. I would like to see him try to follow a Ukrainian woman again and be stood up again for a whole season. But, you know, but it's like he had Rose. It didn't work out. And then he had, I think, a season of The Single Life. And he met Liz. And, I don't know, probably didn't work out even then by the end of the season. But it's like, why are you on Happily Ever After
isn't
for
it...
90 Day Fiancé.
Right. They're not even married yet.
No.
And I think I saw rumors online that they're already broke up.
Yeah, there's been a lot of stuff like for like the last 6 months talking about them being, even before the show started again, the season started, it was all over social media that they split and her soft launching her new man and Ed is new lady, whatever, you know. Oh, so it's like, why are we, so it's just extra annoying of why are we watching this? Why do we have to watch this when we already know they're not together anymore?
Right. The only thing I can think of is just people talk about it on social media. Yeah. You know?
I don't know.
So, I don't know. Liz has got Stockholm Syndrome because even when her mom's like, I want to talk to Ed, and she's like, oh, well, don't be too hard on a mom.
Yeah.
You know, all this shit. I don't know. They buy a dress. Who cares? Later, they had this, like, July 4th party thing.
Those chicken wings had zero seasoning on it.
Of course.
Not even salt and pepper.
No.
Nothing.
And there's no excuse because Ed's got Mexican heritage. They season their chicken.
You know, Norma was there. I don't know. I guess I'm just assuming Norma knows how to cook. Maybe that's wrong of me to make that assumption. But
she's from Mexico.
Yeah, somebody in that whole party should have known to put something on those wings.
Hey, listen, guys, you got to put a little bit of salt and pepper, yes, but, you know, can we throw on a little
else,
bit
yeah.
a little cayenne or something in
but
here?
But there was not even a speck of black pepper on there, man.
Not even black pepper. It looked anemic. It was, gross. I always forget that Ed has, like, his face tattooed on his leg, and it just gives me major douche chills every time I see it.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no way this guy's that big of a turd. And,
but
like,
he
oh,
is.
Boy.
Yep.
He never fails to disappoint.
After a painful amount of seasons and spinoffs with this guy, we are very aware of his turd levels.
Oh, yeah. Big pred. Yep. No sign of Ed's daughter.
Nope.
No mention of her either, really.
Nope. So. And it was a surprise that Norma was back. You know, I guess she finally warmed back up to him. I don't know.
I guess. I mean, she's getting close to the end of her life. She probably doesn't want to fight with her kids.
Yeah.
Which I guess I get. You know, she's kind of in the sunset of things. It's like you don't want to go out with bad feelings, you know.
I guess so.
I don't know. Liz's mom tries to talk with Ed. Ed would not shut the fuck up. Like talk to him.
Yep.
And even at the end of the conversation, she's like, Ed likes to talk. Like,
yeah.
You caught that, did you? Yeah.
If he hogs the conversation, then you can't ever get in there and say what he's doing wrong. So.
That's exactly it. It's a defense mechanism is what it is. Yeah. And he kind of admits to his fault, but not really.
Yeah.
Like, it's clear he doesn't understand, like, what the root issue is.
Yep.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, but he was like, oh, the therapy was great. It helped us. And it's like,
all
right.
Like, is there anything worse than people who, like, and maybe I'm guilty of this. No one's really mentioned it. But, like, that they're clearly not listening to you. They're just waiting for your mouth to stop so that they can interject their shit, you know?
Yep.
That's Ed.
Yep. There's even, like, a look in people's eyes when you're talking to them where you can see almost, like, where they've checked out and where they're just looking at you.
They're just thinking
of
what they're going
to
say.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That segment just made me excited for summer, actually. Like the fireworks and the pool and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And excited for this season to be over and we don't talk about Ed anymore.
Yeah, unless he's on another show again.
Oh, he will be. Yeah. There's no way. I'm telling you. It's all the shit on social media.
He'll be
media.
On. He'll
That's
be
it.
Back on The Single Life again. That's what he'll be. He'll be back on The Single Life.
You know what? You're probably right.
TLC, please do not do that.
Just stop,
We've had
man.
Enough.
It's really enough.
Yeah.
It's enough. Like, they got rid of fucking Brendan and Mary.
Yeah.
The Philippine couple, because someone in their family leaked that they had a kid or something.
Yep.
It's like, guys, really? Like, that's worse than Big Ed?
Yep.
Get the fuck out of here.
Agreed.
Nobody talked about them the way they talk about Big Ed, and you see where their priorities lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Slimy shit. How about Rob and Sophie?
Ooh, my favorite.
Ooh.
So,
Sophie tried to go back to the apartment, right?
Yep.
What do you think about that? She, you know, hadn't been back in 2 months, and she's there for, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes.
You know, I mean, and I'm trying to, you know, like, my own healing journey, you know, whatever. It's like Rob is very, very narcissistic. If you Google traits, signs, whatever you want to word it, of narcissism, Rob has every one of them. If you're not sure you understand what a narcissist is, watching Rob, his behaviors is your live example.
Yeah.
She gets there, and sure enough, He has a list waiting for her of everything she needs doing to do wrong that she needs to do. There's nothing on there of his accountability.
Not a hint of
what
an apology.
He's been doing wrong. No. An apology, nothing. He just dives right into how she's the problem, not him. That's narcissist. Oh, everyone's the problem but me.
Didn't he steal some flowers off a bush?
Yeah. He gave this fucking dramatic tale of what a great knight in shining armor he is, how he had to jump a freeway or some bullshit to get these flowers. And it, like, bro, that is from like someone's bush, like down the street from you at best.
That's probably his next door neighbor.
Yeah. And it's clearly from a bush. It's not flowers.
He didn't take the thorns off.
No. Oh, careful. There are thorns on there. Like, really? And it's like, you know what? You should have been a fucking man and gone to the flower shop and got a real fucking bouquet or even one stupid rose like he did before. But what the hell is this shit? Like clippings from a neighbor's bush?
Right.
Like, you know, but again, to make himself seem, look at how great I am. Look at what I did for you. Look at what I do for you. It's like, man, get the fuck. Oh, read that list of all the shit you're doing wrong, though. So.
You have to correct these things before I'll take you back.
Yeah. Like, yep. We'll be okay. We'll have a good relationship once you stop doing all those things. But no, there's nothing that I have to correct. Nothing at all. I'm not the problem at all.
And it's like, and then, you know, she mentioned something about him being controlling, and he kind of blew up a little bit. He's like, well, what have I done to be controlled? That's controlling.
Yep.
Like, you just gave her a fucking list
of
things.
Yep.
Requirements before you take her back.
Yep. And it's just so typical. It's deflection. And I felt her pain when she read the list, realized what it was. It's this feeling that I have had many, many times of this, like, are you fucking kidding me?
You're wasting my time.
Like, when does this stop? Like, when do you ever say sorry?
He was counting the amount of toilet paper she was using.
Yes. And
what
you
the
know,
fuck?
And you know, listeners, I'll share this story with you guys. But and Marty, you know the story. I have also experienced with my narcissistic ex an argument over toilet paper. And these motherfuckers are a special kind of crazy clowns, man. I'm telling you. Where, you know, I was this guy's designated driver because he got himself a DUI, of course, right? But that was my fault, too. I wasn't even there. I was at home asleep, but that was still my fault, right?
Well, you knew you should have woke up and picked him up.
Yeah, it was still my fault, guys, of course. What an ass I am. You know, he wanted to go get wasted on a Wednesday. What, don't you got shit to do, grown man? Like, I digress.
You have sick leave. Come on.
Right? So I drive him home, doing him a favor, you know, whatever, being his designated driver. And I'm asking him on the way home, hey, I'm hungry. You know, you live here. What restaurants open or fast food where I can just swing through and grab something to eat real quick? Like, and he's playing all these games. He's word salading me. He's laughing. And I'm like, why can't you just tell me what's fucking open? You know, like, but this is what they do. They try to get you upset. He's trying to start a fight. You know, like, it's the usual. And I'm already hip to this pattern. I'm like, okay, you're trying. And I told him, you're trying to start a fight with me right now. I'll just be hungry. It's fine. Let's not talk about it. And he kept going. I'm like, hey, stop trying to start a fight. It's not worth it.
Right.
Knock it off. And he just kind of gives like this little smirk and then like looks out the window like a toddler, right? And then we get back. And then I go to his bathroom. There's no toilet paper, or there's like two squares, right? And I make it work, right? I make it work. But I drink a bunch of water. I know I'm going to have to go to the bathroom again shortly, come back down. I'm like, hey, there's no toilet paper in the bathroom. I looked under the sink. There's none there.
Right.
You need to put a roll in there, bro. You know, I'm like, I'm not doing it right now.
What
okay.
Kind of psychopath
well,
who has toilet paper and doesn't put it in the bathroom.
And then he goes, oh, I'll get it when I have to go. And I'm like, okay, well, it's like 2 a.m. and you're curled up in the fetal position in your bed. You're about to fall asleep. So what do I do in like 20 minutes when I need toilet paper in your sleep? He's like, and then it turned into and he told me, I'm not going to get it for you because you're telling me to. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, dude, I just want to be able to wipe my ass. Like, come on.
You should have wiped your ass with a towel.
I should have taken
there.
His shirt and wiped my ass with
seriously.
It. It was his favorite shirt and did it. And
that's exactly what you should have done.
You know, and I'm just, and for an hour, over an hour.
Take that pee shirt, R. Kelly.
I am arguing with this fool and I'm telling him and it's escalating. It's me being calm. This is his second chance to start a fight with me. He's got it and he's going for it. And I'm like, he's not going to get me. He's not going to break me. This motherfucker's not going to break me.
You can go the distance.
You know? Yeah, and I'm
smell.
I always said his name, but I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to argue with you over toilet paper. Can you please get me a roll of toilet paper? And it just went on for over an hour and it escalated. And I just remember sitting there just like, and I said out loud, I cannot believe I'm arguing with you to get me a roll of toilet paper. I cannot believe that's where we're at and that this is my life. And he's just sitting there smirking at me and I'm that narcissistic smirk. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, dude, you should have just fucking wiped. You should have wiped with a fucking hand towel.
I should have. I don't. I can't even think of anything.
Put it back on the rack.
I mean, he has like secondhand clothes and stuff, and you know, so he doesn't really have anything of value anyway. But I should have. There's something that I could have wiped my ass with and just left it.
You know what? Here you go. You know, here's what your big mistake was, because all of this was detailed by fucking TLC years ago. I don't want no scrub.
Yeah.
Scrub's kind of guy. Can't get Nola for me. That's where you fucked up.
Yep. You know? Yeah. And so I vowed that night, never again in my life will I be arguing with someone to get me toilet paper.
And it's like, he couldn't even bother to be like, oh, actually, it's in the closet over there.
Yeah,
like, I'm
like,
just too drunk to get up.
Yeah,
you know?
Tell me where it is. Where is the hidey hole in this house where you keep it?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Like, dude, seriously?
But it's the control of controlling me getting what I want.
I'm thinking like a non-narcissist. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And they think everybody thinks like them. It's like, dude, I don't think any less of you if you give me toilet paper. I've got all the control and power now, sir. Yeah. I've got a roll of toilet paper. Like, no.
Like, he's a czar and you're a serf. Like, get the fuck out of here, dude.
Yeah, like, can I just please have some tissue for,
I just
want to
wipe my ass. That big daddy, like, I can wipe my own ass.
Yeah, and no, and that reminds me of another story of between my mom and dad, who my dad also has a lot of, like, narcissistic, emotionally mature tendencies, and, you know, Polish, very, you know, the stereotype of, like, Polish people being super cheap and whatever, and my mom and my dad had an argument once where we were running low on toilet paper. My mom was like, you know, hey, we're running low on toilet paper. You need to get some toilet paper. And then my dad's, his rebuttal was, I'll buy it when it's on sale. To which my mom said, when it comes to saving a dime or wiping my ass, I'd rather wipe my ass. And who knew, like 10 years later, I'd be having a very similar
conversation.
Yeah.
Funny how those things work out, huh?
Yep. Full circle. Full
Seriously. Circle. So. Well, later, Rob tries winning Sophie over by bringing her to a country bar so they can learn the two-step.
Ugh.
I thought that was uncomfortable. Rob in his stupid hat. And
yeah.
I don't like it. I hate those hats anyway.
Yeah.
It just looked dumb on Rob.
Agreed. And I just hate knowing that everything nice he's doing is love bomb.
It's just love bomb. Yeah.
It is not fixing any of the issues.
No.
It's not him knowing any of the issues with himself. It is just, let me love bomb you, get you to like me again, and then I can treat you like shit again once I've got you back.
Reel you back in.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it was that sweet boy charm.
Yeah.
Like he used on the OnlyFans, I assume.
Yeah. That would, yeah.
Unfortunately, took it down, so we can't sub.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah, I hated the boots and hats. I don't know. I guess some people can pull that off. Like Clint Eastwood in, like, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, like, it fits, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? But when these touristy hats, I don't know, it bugs me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
But Sophie didn't even know people, like, dress that way.
And yeah,
like,
and that's funny.
I thought it was like a Halloween thing, and, like,
yeah. Like, you've never seen, like, a Western film? Like, I don't know how often they dress like that in, like, L.A. Well, no, they're in Texas. I forgot.
In Texas now.
Okay, so that makes a little more sense. I don't know.
But even in Austin, you probably don't see a lot of people walking around that way.
Yeah.
Probably not a lot.
Maybe, yeah, not
Probably
in Austin.
Some, but...
Yeah, I was in, like, the Dallas area, and I saw a lot of cowboy boots
right.
and cowboy hats. And the, what's the thing called? The little necktie?
Oh, the bolo tie?
Yeah, I saw a lot of those.
I love a good bolo tie.
I saw a lot of those.
A turquoise one, a little round turquoise bolo tie.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah. And then in Nashville, though, I didn't see really any cowboy hats.
That's the place where I see them the most is Nashville, because it's like a touristy thing. These tourists, like, you know.
Yeah, but
23-year-old girls coming down like, I gotta wear my hat. And,
but even in Nashville, on, like, what is it, Broadway, the little
lower
main,
Broadway,
little
yeah.
main party strip, like I didn't see even tourists wearing cowboy hats.
That's crazy.
I was like, I've been here for like 3 days and I haven't seen
dude,
a single cowboy hat.
That's wild. Yeah. I was there for like 3-4 hours and it was like wall to wall hats and fucking stupid boots and
they
shit.
They were for sale everywhere, but
oh,
nobody
sure,
was wearing
sure.
them. I'm like,
did you get a picture with Elvis?
No, I didn't.
I see you fucked up.
Well,
that's what you got to do in Nashville, right? And get some Nashville hot chicken.
I also,
those are good too.
I did get some Nashville hot chicken. I did do that. But then I spent most of my time really checking out the three leveled bars that were everywhere.
So
I did a lot of that. So I was less looking for Elvis and more looking at the bottom of
for pelvis
cups and glasses.
Oh, okay, I thought you were trying to get some. I don't know. They looked like they were having fun, I guess.
Sophie's not a good dancer. Supposedly Rob is, which...
Well, we've seen Rob dance. Rob can dance, but
I
don't know about Sophie.
I don't know. I wouldn't go off of his, like, weird wedding airport proposal dancing as, like, validation that he can dance. Like,
I don't know.
I didn't see that and go, oh, that guy's got moves. Like, no.
But wasn't he at a dance studio with his friends and stuff?
Oh,
like,
maybe.
You know?
Yeah. Prepping for that.
Prepping for... Oh, maybe that's what it was. Okay. Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
But then Sophie's like, oh, they want us to break up, but they don't know how fun he is or how fun he can be.
Yeah.
So like, oh, come on, Sophie. Fuck.
And again, I've been Sophie where, well, people, they just haven't seen the good side. And it's like, really, the good side is like an hour once every like 3 months. Like, see, he can be fun. He can be a good guy. Like, it. Yeah, I've been there. And
yeah,
it's
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, no, no.
It's
not. I don't know. If it's not, yeah, no, no.
What I can say against Sophie is she figured that was the best time to tell him that her best male friend from England is going to be visiting in a couple of days.
Which I knew was going to be a huge problem.
That's going to be a problem. And I was hoping he would bring his OnlyFans energy, but not really.
No. Yeah. He was very, very insecure about it. He hated it. Of course, he wanted to know if the guy was attractive or not.
I was surprised at how open he was about that, though.
Yeah.
Because he said, like, if he doesn't look like Gollum, I don't like him.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
Yep.
Really, like, insightful for Rob. you know what I mean? Like,
And it's very interesting, like, and I've, again, lived this. Like, I have the look in Rob's eyes when, you know, then when we get to, like, what is it, a pool party or whatever the fuck they're doing.
Right, they're playing pool.
And,
whatever,
like,
yeah.
The look in Rob's eyes of, like, it's like a look. It's like a, like, almost like a glimmer, but, like, in a dark way.
Right.
Of when Callum comes in. Like, I've seen that look in my ex's eyes, and it's this very jealous, very insecure.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, you've just hit their insecurity button to, like, record lows,
we've
right?
We've seen it with Jamal and Tim.
And where it's just, like, and it's funny because it's, like, these are people that need all these attention. They DM women. They cheat on you. They talk and flirt behind your back. They have double lives, all these things because they need that attention
that
to
validation,
survive.
Yeah.
And like him online cheating with Sophie and all the shit. That's fine. We're not, you know, nothing wrong with that. He did nothing wrong.
Right.
But it's like the girl can't do the same, even in like the right way. Like have a male best friend. Talk to a male. We're like, my ex would flirt with women right in front of me. He was doing shady shit in the background too. All fine, right? I'm just crazy, you know, whatever. Like, oh, it's totally fine. You know, he's allowed to do whatever.
Sure.
But then like, when men would come up to me in public and even just like say hi, or and like some people would flirt with me because they didn't know I was in a relationship, like, you know, and it's like he would get that same look in his eye about it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then be super jealous, and then he'd go and like act shitty even worse as like some kind of weird petty retaliation. And it's just interesting how,
right,
like if a guy comes up to me and starts talking to me because they don't know I'm in a relationship, but I let him know, it's like, that's a problem. I'm some huge asshole. It's all my fault.
Yeah, why?
I deserve now a night of hell and of your
right.
little kid behavior when you knowingly, willingly behave this way.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so Rob's the same way.
Rob's the same way. It's almost like they want to make the situation so uncomfortable that the threat goes away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And that's what it's about, you know?
Yep.
And so, you know, Rob shows up to hang out with Sophie and her friends by the pool and everything. And, you know, he was trying to be all cool. Like, he didn't remember Caleb's name and shit.
Yeah.
And you could tell he was just being a shithead.
I've had that, too. Pretending, like, you know exactly what you're talking about. You know his name.
You've probably stalked him on social media.
Yeah.
You probably looked at all his pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Stop it.
Oh, yeah.
So, suddenly, Caleb walks in, and Rob thinks he's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Yep.
I mean, basically, that's what Rob says.
Yep.
You know, and he's getting really insecure, and he's insecure about how other people perceive him. Like,
mm-hmm.
specifically, he doesn't like when he thinks people think that they're better than him.
Yeah, because image is super, is all
image,
that's
right?
important. Yep.
And just by looking at Caleb for 2 seconds, he can tell that Caleb thinks he's better than him. It's like, well,
yeah.
What?
But
you haven't talked to him yet.
That's just the insecurity screaming
absolutely.
Loud as fuck. Because
this guy probably has money, Caleb.
Yeah,
it probably comes from money because he's hanging out. He was friends with Sophie from back of the day,
and it's too because like they narcissists go for people that are like good people or they got like good shit going on. They're attractive. They got their life together, whatever. But then once they have you, they get a fear with their insecurity that because they think no matter what their status is, they think that they're a piece of shit. That's what they think deep down about themselves. They think
right.
they're a piece of shit. So they
oh, yeah.
think, oh no, now that I've got you. You're going to realize I'm a piece of shit.
You're
going to
find
and
out.
And you're
going to
leave me. And mm-hmm. so when you've got other options nearby, male friends, males, whatever.
Who's not a piece of shit.
Yep. You're afraid, oh, no, she's going to leave me, realize I'm a piece of shit, and that guy's not a piece of shit, and leave me.
The, yeah.
And that's why they isolate you from the outside world, from friends, from family, because they don't want anybody to clue you in on, hey, that guy's a piece of shit over there.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then even Calum, when they were talking to him off, you know, kind of on the side, he, you know, they asked him, oh, what do you think of Rob or whatever? And he basically said, well, you know, I got to get to know him before I can really say, you know, anything, if the relationship's good or not. Like, I don't really know him. So it's like, you know, he's already prejudging Calum, and Calum seems like a fairly reasonable kind of guy.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, here's the big problem.
Yep.
Calum and Sophie dated very briefly when they were like 16.
Yep, and she didn't tell him.
And he didn't tell him. The whole mood changed.
Yep.
They didn't bang or anything or fool around. They were just, like 2 weeks.
And it was like half their life ago.
And it's this meaningless, nothing, who cares thing. Boy, did the whole mood of the room change.
And again, and even now, thinking back to that scene, it makes my stomach kind of go into like the pit, because I have been there where that moment has, a moment like that has, about something has happened where I've seen the entire mood in the person change. I felt like the temperature in the room shift, and I knew it's going to be hell. We're not going to have a good night. He's going to ruin it. I knew.
Yeah.
I was like, the flip got switched, and I knew, and it was like this, oh, fuck, kind of feeling.
Like,
you
can't write the plane.
Yep.
You can't write it. You're going down.
Yep, I've been there, and there's no turn. There's no grabbing the throttle and pulling it back up.
Nope.
It's over. You're crashed.
Nope.
You're on a crash course right there, and that's what narcissists will do. Is they sit there and they wait for you to fuck up in some way, little, small, big, small, anything. Because then as soon as they find it, they zone in on it, and then, aha, see there, that thing right there makes you the problem.
That validates.
You're the reason.
All my shitty behavior.
Yep, everything I've been saying is true. I've done nothing wrong. It's all you. And so by Sophie, quote, lying and not telling him about them having a relationship, that was his moment. Like, hi, see,
that's
you're the
it.
Problem.
That's
you're
it.
The one that causes the trust issues. You're the liar. You're hiding things. You're the reason why we're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on.
And Sophie immediately went into people-pleasing, damage control mode, trying to right the ship. And it's like, you know, it's like, I mean, it's easy for you to say she should have told him. But honestly, she knew he'd react this way. And she probably knew, she knew that she'd never be able to see Calum if Rob knew, right? So she said, I'm just going to take the chance and not tell him, and maybe it won't come up.
Yep.
And,
100%.
You know, so that, I mean, that's why she didn't tell him.
Yeah. And it's either that, or it's because maybe it just really slipped her mind. She didn't think to mention it. Like, you know, maybe, but I think it's definitely more what you're saying.
I think it's more,
Because it's, and again, like, you're fearful of these guys. You know, you may not know they're a narcissist. Usually you don't. It's kind of like, if you're standing up against the door to the Empire State Building, all you see is the door, right?
Sure.
But then once you get far enough back, once you're out, you can see the whole building, and you can see what the real gravity of what you were in. You can see that was abuse. You can see that's a narcissist. You can see, you know what I mean, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's like, and so you may not know that they're a narcissist, but you know their behavior. You know what's going to trigger them. You know what's going to cause a bad outcome. You know what's going to make them mad. And so you're afraid of them. So it's so it is like how kind of we've talked about in the past with Mako and Angela about, like, he gets yelled at and in trouble if he does the right thing and is honest, or if he lies. So fuck, you might as well lie, right?
And it's the same level of, like, trouble.
Yeah.
Right?
So yep. And if she knows the relationship from 15 years ago doesn't mean anything, and it's, you know, like, it's not worth her having that argument
right.
with him over it, and like you said, then him probably telling her, oh, you're not allowed to see him, you can't hang out with
them.
And it's like, well, no, I want to see my friend, and I know this guy's not gonna let me. And so it's just so that's the whole thing.
She was rolling the dice. She was rolling the Mako dice.
Yeah,
just, you know, a little lie of omission. Maybe it was wrong for her to keep that to herself, but the fact is she knows what's gonna be waiting for her.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so, like, I'm just gonna take the chance, and maybe he won't find out.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't blame her.
I really don't blame her, honestly. So, okay, how about Ashley and Manuel? So they were gonna, like, buy a motorcycle, I guess, for a little bit.
Even though she's $100,000 in debt.
Even though she's $100,000 in debt, Manuel does not feel like it's necessary to buy a motorcycle that could, like, accommodate the both of them.
Yeah,
he only wants them just for him.
It's just really giving, like, that whole, like, warning of, like, man, this guy's gonna just up and leave you, man. He's gonna get that green card and just sail off into the sunset on you, man.
I hate to play into that, like, stereotype, but yeah, kinda. I kinda, like, get that vibe.
Yeah, it makes it a little more concerning for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They go to a witch shop because, I don't know, Ashley wants to, like, open his hole or whatever. And they need to find something to hopefully help their communication without having to actually, like, you know, talk to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully, right? And, like, I think Ashley needs to give Manuel a little bit of a break here because, like, he doesn't believe in this stuff.
Like, maybe his throat chakra's blocked because of all the crap she's pushing down.
All the crap you're pushing down it. But also, it's like, she gets annoyed that he doesn't believe in this stuff, but it's like, you knew he didn't believe in this. He doesn't believe in this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, how much shit does he give you for not being a Catholic?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he does, and we just don't see a lot of it, right?
But, right.
I don't know. So, Ashley and Manuel.
Or, I like it. Ashwell.
The couple now is Ashwell.
There we go. Take note.
So she's kind of forcing him to, like, she wants to meet his family, right?
Yeah.
Go down to New York. That's why we need a two-person, you know, motorcycle.
Why can't they just take her car?
I don't know.
If it's going to be about meeting the family, take the car.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Manuel's, like, trying to improve his English and stuff, which I guess is a good thing.
Yeah, he's not very far along in it.
No, for having been there as long as he has been at this point, like, his English is not really getting better.
I didn't think that the English teacher was very, like, I don't know. He seemed kind of rude, or I don't know. He didn't seem like a fun teacher, but then maybe it's just because maybe Manuel's not a very good student. Maybe it's part of that.
I don't know that that was a real, like, English course. Like, you know, they have real English as a second language courses.
Right.
And that's what Manuel needs.
Yeah.
He doesn't need a tutor.
Yeah.
He needs, like, a full-blown course.
Yep.
And, you know, they're trying to save a couple of monies by paying, you know, a couple of dollars by paying this dude, you know, $30 for an hour to teach him English. Like, it's not going to work, man. You got to get real courses.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And I feel like if they went to, like, there's probably got to be, like, local resources for that, too.
It's like, I don't know. I'm assuming on Duolingo they've got English, right? I
mean, well, yeah, he can do Duolingo.
He can sit at home and learn a little bit. I mean.
And, like, even locally, like, Rochester's not a small town. They probably have, like, a Spanish-speaking community that can help him with his English.
Or even something online. Like, there's online Zoom stuff and whatever where you can learn English.
There's a ton.
And,
there's a lot of resources, but I think they're trying to do it on the cheap. I don't know.
Maybe,
or no, they're trying to do it in front of cameras is what it is. And trying to make a good story, right? I don't know. So they did this, like, spiritual bath thing. A lot of discarded food it was involved.
Mm-hmm.
Broken eggshells and stuff.
Yeah. And it was really cold. It was very cold really for Manuel. Yep.
You know? Like, you know, some love potion number 9 type shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was interrupted by raccoons. I don't know if that's a good sign.
Yeah, I don't. I think Ashley interpreted it as a good sign, but I don't know.
What, raccoons are a pest? Why would that be a good thing?
Yeah, like a bunch of pests appear. Like
someone that comes along and steals your food, like, is showing up.
Some kind of foreshadowing going on here.
Might be some foreshadowing, right? It's outside and it's cold and shit.
And
you know what? It ended up, like, kind of working. Because he started telling her things about his family, but it's like, well, yeah, you're torturing him.
He's
trying to get you to stop.
I'll stop pouring this cold mixture of weird water on you when you tell me information.
You're, like, waterboarding him. And, you know what I mean? Like, what's your kid's birthday? And then I'm pouring water down his throat. Like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Manuel's not told his family she's a bruja.
Nope.
And she's kind of put off by that. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's like... I don't know. I mean, I don't understand. Like, I get it's a big part of who she is, but it's just like, I mean, I don't know. Like, what just came to my head is, like, you're not going to go meet your significant other's parents and, like, let them know what your kink is, right? And you know what
Probably
I mean?
Not,
like, there's some
know?
Shit you just don't have to share. It's fine. It's not obstructing who you are. It's not making you pretend to be who you aren't. You know, like, you just don't have to talk about it.
You know, like, I play bass in a ska band. Do I bring it up to anyone? Not unless it's relevant.
Right.
Not usually. It's a big part of my life. I spend a lot of time doing it.
Yeah.
But I don't bring it up, like, ever, really.
Right. And she acts like it's not, like, Well, if it comes up, what am I supposed to, like, how is it going to come up? Is somebody going to just randomly be like, oh, yeah, anybody that's a witch is crazy? Like, that's just not going to come up in casual conversation.
And I doubt they'll even ask if she's, like, Catholic. They might ask if she's Catholic, maybe. But even then, just say, oh, she's not really religious. And they can leave it
at that. Yeah.
Who cares?
Yep. You don't have to put it all out there. And, you know, good for her on wanting to just be out with who she is. But it's like, I think we all, when meeting in-laws or whatever, like, you know what I mean? We hold some stuff close to the chest.
Yeah, right.
And out of respect for your partner, out of respect for the family, out of just to avoid drama, right? And it's just I think that Ashley is just one of those people that really, really loves telling people she's a witch because she likes the reactions she gets.
All right, because she's different,
and,
man.
Yeah, because she's not like everyone else. Those quote different people that really need everybody to know they're different because they want the attention and they want the drama or the resistance.
They're probably hoping that they are saying something. It's so funny you bring that up because they went to the church and that whole segment was a waste of time with them in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But she says, like, I don't walk around just proclaiming, like, hi, I'm a witch. And, like, I cast doubt on that.
Yeah,
I think that's exactly what you do.
Yeah,
you know?
I think that that's what, like, her identity, which that's fine, but it's like it's a thirsty kind of energy of, you know, like just wanting attention, because when you hear somebody say, oh, I'm a witch, you go, what? You know what I mean? Like, a lot, it's not very common. So a lot of people are like, what?
But that backfires when they're just like, oh, okay. And they don't care.
Yeah. Like, how dare you not ask me 20 additional questions? Like,
you don't want to know? No, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. No. Like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, right. Okay. Who cares?
Anyway, what's for lunch?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Manuel fucked up because his family's not in New York. They were in Newark,
New
Jersey.
I laughed out loud during that scene. And some people online were like, oh, was that scripted? There's no way two people are that stupid. And I'm like, listen. Yes.
If you're not from the United States, you may not realize that Newark, New Jersey, or that New Jersey in general is not New York.
Yeah, or even just Newark. Newark, New York. It sounds similar.
It sounds similar.
And if you put an accent of some kind on there.
For a Spanish speaker, I can see that.
It's like, I mean, oh, he's heard of New York before. Like, Newark. Oh, New York. Like, you know.
Right.
I get it. But it's also like, how did none of you, like, looked at, like, put an address in the GPS?
They didn't send
you know
address.
What I mean? Like, like, just drive to New York. We'll let you know where to go when you get there, to this massive city.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, what?
Little fun fact, Newark, New Jersey, the airport, that's where I met Hulk Hogan.
Is he as big as he seems?
He's huge. This is close to 20 years ago now, but maybe he's shrunk since then. I don't know. He's had a lot of back surgeries since then. But when I saw him, that dude was like 6'8", 6'9". He was the biggest dude I've ever seen in my life.
Did you get a picture with him?
No, I was dumb.
It didn't happen.
Listen, I had a disposable camera, and I freaked out because I'm an old Hulkamaniac from back in the day. But at that point, I hadn't watched wrestling since the early 90s. So I'm like, I got to say something to Hulk Hogan. So I ran up to him, and I said, holy shit, Hulk Hogan, Suburban Commando is the greatest movie ever. And then he just like, it kind of took him, like, it stunned him a little bit.
That he did the movie?
Yeah, like, he kind of like, like, maybe he was waiting for me to, like, be like, JK, or like, is this kid fucking with me or something? Then he realized I'm just a greaseball.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, that's a bit of a stretch, brother, but thanks. And he shook my hand. His hand swallowed I looked like a child. It looked like a child's hand next to his. It was crazy.
But you didn't get that picture, though.
I didn't get that picture.
So everything you're saying could be a lie.
Dude, it could be. I guess it could be. But this is like, again, 2005, 2006. People just didn't have cameras. I had a disposable, but I didn't take it. So.
Okay.
Oh, well. Anyways, I made everyone else in the restaurant aware that he was there, so I kind of ruined his moment, his meal.
Well, I don't know. I think that
anybody
would know.
They
would
have caught on.
Yeah.
I was the first one to catch on.
Did he have, like, the whole goatee and, like, all the thing
he
did?
He just had a mustache. Yeah, he had the mustache and a bandana.
Okay, yeah. They would have known. They would have figured it out.
They would have figured it out.
You know what? There's honestly very few celebrities that, like, if I were sitting down next to them in a bar, I would have no idea. Like, just, absolutely nobody in sports, I'd have no idea. Even, I know what, like, LeBron James looks like, right? But even if he was sitting next to me, I still, that's not the one, who died?
Kobe?
Yeah, Kobe. Well, yeah. Even if Kobe was alive and sitting next to me, I wouldn't know. And I know what he looks like. But, like, LeBron James.
My first thought would be like, wow, that guy looks like Kobe. Or that guy looks like LeBron.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'd be like, that guy kind of looks like, who's that basketball? LeBron, whatever?
Yeah.
And but it would be him. Or, like, I don't know. But, like, Hulk Hogan.
He's distinct.
I wouldn't know if Hulk Hogan was next to me.
He's just a dude that when he's in the room, you notice.
But
he's,
then I'd probably, you know. Honestly, I'd probably still gaslight myself and be like, nah, that's not really Hulk Hogan. Why would Hulk Hogan be here? You know what I mean?
Yeah, why would this guy look exactly like Hulk Hogan?
And then I'd see like on Twitter later, like, oh, Hulk Hogan was at whatever restaurant. I'm like, god damn, and he was there. It was him.
I saw Tom Cruise at Disney World. That dude is like 5'5". Like, he's really little. And his like actor bio thinks that he's like 5'9". Like, dude, if he's 5'9", then I'm 6'7". There ain't no fucking way. The guy came up to like my chest.
I met Drake once, and I did get a picture with him.
Okay, good.
I almost didn't though, because I almost bitched out. I didn't want to be that girl, right? But I was like, fuck it. I met Drake. I'm gonna be that girl, right? Yeah. And he was beautiful. He was the height that I predicted he was, which is tall. Yeah, very. Yeah,
He seems like a big dude though.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes they look like it, and then you get in front of them, and they're like 5'5".
Like,
you know,
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Tom Cruise, and but no, he was tall. He was very filled out, buff, like, and just he was gorgeous. He smelled nice. Yeah.
I bet he probably wears nice cologne.
I was like, oh my god, you look just as good in person as you do everywhere on the internet.
And he's
Thank you.
Like, shut up.
I didn't tell him that.
Oh,
I didn't fangirl that hard.
Oh god, you should have. You should have been the one that said that to him.
I had to walk with him for accidentally. It was like I bumped into him in a hallway, and then it turned out to be he was walking down the hall the same direction I had to go, and it turned out to be like the longest walk of my life. I'm like,
did you try to hold his hand?
No, I wish I should have. But it was like, you know, I had to. It was like it was that awkward thing where it's like, well, should I make small talk? But I don't know how long he's walking with me down this hallway. You know, I don't want to start a conversation and here's his stop. You know what I mean? And like, but then it got to be for so long where it's like, well, fuck, I should have started talking like 20 feet back there, you know?
Right.
And so it was an awkward dance, but
I think it ends, their segment kind of ends with them deciding they're not going to bring up the witchy stuff.
Which means that Ashley is going to somehow accidentally.
It'll happen accidentally, or she's going to be like really resentful that
like,
they didn't
like
talk
her,
about her
witch
stuff.
Guidebook is going to like fall out of her like sleeve on the dinner table. Oh, oops.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. How about Gino and Jasmine? So really the last 2 weeks can be summed up by Jasmine is upset that her kids are going to be gone for at least 2 years.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Right.
I mean, her being upset.
Her
not
being
them,
upset.
Not
right.
Not being here. Yeah.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah. No. And it's getting to the point in which she's really thinking, like, I don't know that I can go that long. And I understand what she's saying.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can go that long without seeing my kids. Because her one kid's like 11.
Yeah.
That means by the time she sees him again, he'll at least be a teen. He'll be a teenager.
Yeah.
And it's like, you that's a lot of time to lose.
Yeah. And it was like, I forget the other one's age, but it's like, I think she says something, or maybe it's Dana, that the man with wisdom somebody says something about how, like, that's like a big change. Like, you go from being an age where you still will hold your mom's hand and whatever to now you're an age where, ew, mom, don't touch me. Don't talk to me in
Dana.
Public.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And, and those are, and like, that was a really, really good point.
That was
like,
a good point. That was a lot of wisdom.
You're missing, you're going to see your kids again and they're going to be totally in a different spot than where you're at. And
so, you know, that's a really big transitional moment in your life. I mean, there's no good time for your mom to not be around, but that preteen thing that you really need your mom.
Yeah.
I'll
go ahead and say too that, like, there's been some people online that have been like, well, she doesn't even have custody of her kids. Why does she care? And it's like, okay, well, I don't know the actual status of like her custody with the kids, but it's like it seems like she still sees them when she lived in Panama. She still saw them, talks to them, things
like
that.
She has a relationship with them.
Yeah. So it's like whether or not she has like full custody or whatever, like, she still is a mom who wants to see her kids.
Right.
And, you know.
And they could have worked something out where it's like she has the kids over the summer or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
They could still have a split custody thing.
But to say, like, because she can't go there and visit even right now.
Not right
now. And so it's like to be, you cannot see your children, whether they come here, you go there for 2 years, maybe longer.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, and Gino's, you know, he's kind of been a dummy for a while regarding this, but he's being a bigger dummy right now because he's like, well, I don't want to spend the $5,000. I can't spend the $5,000.
Yeah.
First of all, get a job.
Yeah.
You're an engineer. Get an engineering job. They exist.
Yep.
And pay for the lawyer. Because right now she's ready to just go home, and all that money you spent up until this point is just going to go down the drain.
Yep.
And you spent a lot more than $5K. Yep. I guarantee
those expensive booty cheeks are going to fly right back to Panama.
Exactly. Yep. You're going to lose all of that.
Yep.
So it's like, you know, just pay the fucking like $5K.
Yeah.
And I really felt for Jasmine when she was talking about like she doesn't want to go back to Panama and feel like a loser or a failure because it's like, you know, I built up this whole thing. Like, we're going to live in the USA, you and mommy. And now all of a sudden to turn around and be like, no USA, no Papa Gino, nothing.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, I feel what she's
saying
there. I felt pretty bad for her in that moment.
Yeah, but, me too.
So how about Nicole and Mahmoud? So Mahmoud thinks American donuts are a little too sweet.
Yeah, those donuts did look pretty fucking good.
She didn't go to like Tim Ho's. She went to like a real donut shop.
Yeah,
and got some good donuts. It looked really good.
It kind of annoyed me too though, because it's like I assumed, I don't know what the breakfast is. Well, Mahmoud tells us, but like I didn't know like what the breakfast is, but I assumed it's not a plate of very sugary I don't know very many people here, like, you know, in my circle that eat donuts for breakfast. Like, yeah, okay, you swing through Tim Hortons or Dunkin' Donuts and you grab a coffee and a donut maybe sometime, but like a donut isn't everybody's typical go-to breakfast. It's like oatmeal, cereal, eggs, toast, a lot of things. And to
maybe if it's a special occasion, you know, maybe it's your birthday or we're
like
going
a brunch
or
something. Something. But it just, I don't know. I just thought it was a little bit, I don't know what the right word is, like odd or whatever, to like very forceful. I think like she's very much forcing him to be and act like an American overnight,
right?
Which is kind of funny and ironic because she didn't like him forcing her to be Egyptian overnight,
right? Exactly.
So and here she's doing the same thing, and like literally forcing American, like stereotypical American culture donuts, right, down this guy's throat. And it's like, dude, you could have given him a more neutral experience, not like, hey, we're in America and we eat donuts all the time, so this is your breakfast for now and forever, eat it, like, you know what I mean? It's just something more. She could have, I don't know, if I were her, I would have tried to make him feel more comfortable with his transition, and that would have meant, and because she's lived with him there and she should be aware and like have some things that he likes, food that he likes,
have
you know what I mean?
Backup in case he doesn't like,
hey, you're in America now, son. You're eating donuts.
Donut. Yeah,
deal with it. You know, I thought it was insensitive, I guess.
Yeah. Especially insensitive because she kind of got upset about it.
Yeah, that he didn't like the donuts enough. Yeah. Like,
okay. I didn't love her hair color either. She looked like the lady from Fifth Element.
Yeah, I agree.
And basically, the rest that happens with their segment the last 2 weeks, they went to take a walk on Santa Monica Pier, and for like half a second, Mahmoud saw a Muslim woman and like looked at her.
Yeah.
And was like intrigued for half a second, and Nicole blew it way up.
Yeah.
Because she was like, you stop and stare with your mouth agape, and like, that didn't happen that way. We saw what happened. It didn't happen that way.
And it's like, I liked, Ashley... from Ashley Manuel, she, when they're in the motorcycle shop, she tells, I laughed out loud at this, and it's my new, it's gonna be my new comeback to everybody, or my new response to everyone, is she tells Manuel, like, you're acting stank right now. And I love that. I love it so much. If there's a favorite phrase I have so far from anybody on the show, it's that. And so my thoughts with Mahmoud and Nicole here, I was like, Nicole is acting extremely stank right now over
very
this
stank.
Boardwalk thing.
Yeah.
Very stank. Yeah.
It's like, I was kind of amazed because we didn't really see Nicole act this. We saw him be jealous. We never really saw her be jealous.
Yep.
Up until this point. Boy, when she's jealous, she's jealous.
She said, you can pack your shit and you can go back
get
to
the
Egypt.
Fuck
I'm
out of
done
here.
With you. Like, what? It's been, what, less than 24 hours?
This whole thing hasn't even been, like, 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And so he gets all mad, upset, and he storms off, immediately gets lost, and he has to come back because he doesn't know where the hell he is. You know, but it was weird. It's like, she doesn't even recall it correctly because it was, like, it was like 2 seconds. Anyway, so,
and she also makes a comment about how, like, you know, she says, I don't think that I'll ever be what Mahmoud wants. And
it's
well,
her insecurities,
if that's how you feel, then kind of what are you doing?
Why are you wasting his time?
If you don't think you're what he wants, like, you know what I mean?
You're wasting both your time.
Yeah.
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 Doesn't make sense. So Later back in the apartment, mannequin's still there, uncovered. Yeah. I was glad to see that. Nicole thinks she's going to get Mahmood on the program, on her program, right? And it's not fucking happening. No. So she made plans with her friends for dinner with Mahmood, her, and they'll all go out and have a great time. Mahmood was very upset because she had a dress. Now, I thought she changed because she said she had a dress that kind of exposed her back a little bit. Mm-hmm. I thought she changed. No, it was that dress.
Yeah.
And it had a little, just a little sliver of her back was showing. Just a little bit. And Mahmood shut the fuck down.
Yep.
And he's like, I'm not going. I don't want to talk to you. How dare you?
Yeah.
He's playing on his fucking phone. He's like, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Because that was like some Little House in the Prairie type shit she was wearing, you know?
Yeah, I had the same reaction as you because like it shows like the front of the dress while she's kind of like talking or whatever, you know? And I'm like, that is a very conservative dress.
He's upset about that?
And then when they show her from the back and you see that little, it's like a triangle of her back.
It's just like a little flap.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, dude. Like,
yeah.
I get it. It's his culture, you know, but it's also like, I don't know. They got to figure out how to meet in the middle here because you're not in Egypt anymore. This is not the culture here in America. You know what I mean?
That's too much.
Like,
man.
Come on. She's not wearing a bikini out here.
No.
You know, it's just
like my wife pointed out that like you can see a little bit of her bra.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but I mean, it's just so.
Yeah.
It wasn't that much.
Yeah.
I didn't see the bra. I don't know.
It's like Mahmood isn't ready for the whole free the nipple movement going on over here either.
No, not exactly.
Like, oh boy.
No, but I am. But so. I don't know. How much time do you think? Like, first of all, she gave him, you know, to defend Nicole, but also in her prosecution, too, she only gave him like 2 days to kind of adapt to American life.
Yeah.
Right? But it's like, you know, how much time did it take for you to adjust to Egyptian life? It's probably going to take some time here, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I was just blown away because that when he said, oh, because the back was exposed, like, oh, she must have changed and had some kind of. Like nightclub shit on, and it was your aunt at the picnic type shit, you know, or a 90s teacher dress. It was really nothing, you know. I don't know. I don't think it's gonna work out.
I don't think so. I don't think so. We've been kind of hearing and seeing the same dynamic again, same episode over and over again. You know,
pretty much.
And so I don't know. I guess yay for them for trying everything.
They certainly giving it a shot.
Know. Yeah.
How about Emily and Kobe? So, this can probably be summed up real quickly because, I mean, they went to see Kobe's family. They seem like really good, jovial people.
Yeah, it was a very beautiful moment.
It was nice.
Like when they meet the dad and the dads meet each other, whatever, you know? And
it was like everybody was very open, very accepting.
Yeah.
It was nice to see. It was sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it. But
they still don't consider Emily his wife.
Until they get that traditional Cameroonian wedding.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, that seemed to start off kind of small and then snowball.
Boy, it blew the fuck up.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's just no big deal. Little thing, little dinner, whatever. Oh, by the way, you are going to have to cook a traditional Cameroonian meal for about like 100 people.
Yeah, right. Like, oh, okay, we can cook the meal and whatever. Give me a recipe. How many people? About 100.
Yep.
I'm sorry, what?
Excuse me? And I just kind of liked it too because, you know, like David's kind of laughing along with it or whatever. And, you know, and like, and it's like, well, David's just happy he doesn't have to pay for another
He's not
wedding.
Paying for this shit. Yeah, right.
Like, oh, I just got to cook for 100 people? That's
but
fine.
I think, doesn't Kobe's family have to give them like a something, like a goat or something? Didn't they say something, a dowry, some kind of dowry?
Some kind of dowry.
And it's like, what the fuck are you going to, how are you going to take a goat back?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you going to stow it? What? I don't know.
Yeah, good point.
Kind of interested in seeing how that works out.
Lisa wasn't really comfortable with that either, like selling her daughter off for like goods, you know? And
I guess I get her point. I mean, to a degree, I get her point.
Yeah, because in our culture, if you are paying for a woman in some capacity, she's a prostitute, right? And like that's the stereotype, and so it's like, is that maybe where her mom's mind is of like selling my daughter off,
either prostitution or she's an object that can be traded.
Yeah,
and it's like, yeah, you know, it's not good.
Yeah,
you know, or you know, so
or and even like maybe like value, like how do you put a value on your
child? Kid?
Yeah,
that's a tough one. I don't know.
You're worth one Oreo cookie. You though are worth. A goat.
Here's a goat. Like
you know,
like if you're trying to take my daughter and you're gonna give me a goat, like bro, get the fuck out of here. That shit. First of all, I would never trade my kid. But if you think my kid's only worth a goat, go fuck yourself.
Isn't that an odd question? Like, what would you trade? What would you trade your kid for?
Yeah, you know what I mean. It's like, I can never imagine doing that. But I would be insulted if you came in with a lowball offer like that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, well, get the fuck out of here.
I'll give you a gift card to Home Depot.
Yeah, what? Seriously, what? At least that's useful. Fuck, I don't want to. Oh, you mean I got to take care of a goat now? Okay, yeah. Great.
But I mean, you know, and not trying to be insensitive to other cultures, but so I can understand Lisa being like, I don't know about, I'm not comfortable with this. But it is, you know, their standard of culture. So, you know.
And I would never insult Lisa because I'm sexually attracted to her. So
Lisa has beautiful hair.
She's a good looking woman. And so Kobe gets his hair cut and his friends basically are concerned because American women on movies are like really bossy and they want to speak their mind. You know, shocking, right?
Yeah, I know. The nerve.
The nerve of them. right? And so later he gets dinner with Emily and I don't know how they think his friends could think that American women are bossy when, you know, she bitches at him for not putting a napkin on his shirt. And then when he does it, he didn't do it right. And she had to fix it.
Yep.
How could they possibly get that impression, right?
And then, you know, she's not mad that he's here and visiting friends and stuff. But then she is mad because he left her alone all day.
At the hotel.
And it's like, well, I can't do anything without you here. And it's like, okay, but you just said you were all right with him visiting his friends.
It was just a day.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with the hotel.
Like, I get it. Like, I wouldn't want to be, I mean, because I'm sure, you know, whatever cultural barriers, language barriers, whatever is going on, you know, like, you don't want to, I don't know. But I'm also the person where I would brave the town by myself, you know. Like,
I am too. Well, I don't know. If I had my kids, I don't know if I would do it with my kids.
Yeah, but again, we're talking one day. If Kobe just decided to check out for however long they're there.
Right.
And, hey, you guys play around in the hotel. I'll see you whenever we leave.
And he did tell them that there's a civil war going on. So I can see being a little cautious, but it's one day. Relax, all right?
Agreed.
And I didn't like that she wanted to know every little detail of Kobe and his friend's conversation.
Yeah.
Like every little thing. Like he said.
And I think she's done this in the past. Like in the past season she was on where she grilled him for, what'd you talk about?
Yeah. And it's like, dude, he said it's guy talk. I mean, butt the fuck out. It's guy talk, you know? So, I don't know. I didn't like that. But it just seemed like she was so upset because, like, she had no, like, control of the conversation. And then that seemed to be what was bothering her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the impression I got. So.
That's what I got, too. That food looked good, though.
That beef thing, that looked good.
Yeah.
I would like that. So, well, that just about does it for this edition of Big Ed's Neck, the only 90 Day Fiancé podcast. Please join us next time. We'll talk about 90 Day, Happily Ever After? Season 8, episode 5. Oh, goodbye.